Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, listeners, Kevin and I need your help.
Yes, we need your help. Please, please, please. We need your stars. We need your reviews, you guys, on iTunes so we can start to climb those iTunes rating charts.
It's simple. Open iTunes, click on the iTunes store, search for Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends.
Then click on ratings and reviews. Under the customer reviews, click write a review. Then let us know what you think from 1 to 5 stars.
If you need some help, think of 1 star being Carol Channing and Paul Lynn in the Road Company of the last 5 years, and 5 stars being free front row tickets to Hamilton. Although, when you think about it, I actually would give 5 stars to the Road Company of Carol Channing and Paul Lynn in the last 5 years, because I think that would be awesome.
I would love to hear, can I hear Moving Too Fast as Paul? that's the one I really want.
She's a chick's the goddess. Been through Erica Schwartz and Danica Weiss and the Handelman twins.
So there you go. You can also leave a comment if you like.
That's it. That's
your reviews.
It.
Send us
Thank
your
you.
Reviews,
Please.
Friends.
Thank you.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And this is our favorite things. Happy Throwback Thursday,
Yay.
Everybody. Hashtag TBT.
That's right, Rob.
As the young kids say.
As the young kids say.
Well, you know, I'm kind of fancy. How have you been? What's been going on, Kev?
Oh, things are good. Things are good.
Yeah, what you up to?
I'm reading Hamilton.
You're
the
reading
book.
The book.
Oh, yes.
That's
it's quite
great.
Good, actually.
Yeah.
It's like incredible. Yeah. I'm a fifth of the way through.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I'm like a tenth of the way through. It's a pretty big book. It's like it's huge. Ron Chernow, the book that the musical is based on,
yeah.
that Lin-Manuel was reading famously on his little vacation, and he was like, how has this not been a musical, a hip-hop musical already? But when you're reading it, I get it. Like, I get why he sees that. And he has captured these characters, even though, I mean, his historical characters, so vividly and so perfectly, but the book itself is a fascinating, fun read.
Oh,
it
really?
It's just incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
These things really did happen that, you know, that Lin-Manuel captured them so well in the musical. I haven't seen it because how can I? But I've listened to it many times.
I am a fan. I don't want to make you jealous. I have tickets for 2036 when Sidney Lucas will be going on for the role of Hamilton.
Didn't they just have a casting call that one of the roles they're seeing women for?
Yeah, they had a controversial casting call. That was crazy. That was crazy.
I'll be curious who's going to see it. But this book is just captures the spirit of the show, or Lin-Manuel really captured the spirit of the book. But it's fun to read and see how that happened.
It's on my reading list.
Good.
It's on my reading list. I have a couple of books ahead of that.
Totally.
Like, you know.
How was your week?
Mine, oh my gosh, Kevin, mine was good.
Good.
Thank you. I don't know if people know this, but I'm also a programming producer for Feinstein's 54 Below.
I forget that it's Feinstein's.
Yes,
now.
Michael Feinstein's
Thank
54
you.
Below, New
love
York
that.
City. Yes,
that's a,
I
that's
love
the
it.
It's the hot spot in town.
It is the hot spot in town. It's Broadway's living room.
That's
No, that's what it's called.
I know, I just love
that's,
it. It makes me good.
Like, it's Broadway's living room.
I like that there's a living room. Like, everyone just hangs out there.
Well, that's
Broadway.
Broadway's living room. And if you go to the bathrooms at the Marriott Marquis, that's Broadway's bathroom.
Great bathrooms.
It's a great bathroom. Honestly, I hate to, I want to tell you this after, you know, if you're coming to New York City, if you're in New York City and you got to go to the bathroom really bad, Marriott Marquis, go on up.
Bam.
Bam. You're in, you're out. It's amazing. You run into so many people.
Do you now?
That are just using the bathroom.
Just hanging out there, recharging your phone, looking at all the... Do they still have the show posters up on the wall?
They do have the show posters
like
up
that.
On the wall.
Yeah, like,
oh, my God, yes.
Thanks, Marriott Marquis, for doing that.
Thank you, Marriott.
You
took down 3 theaters, but in your place, you
so
gave us bathrooms.
Thanks for that and the Marquis Theater.
I don't... You know what? I'm kind of torn, because if it's like looking at the Marasco or going to relieve myself... Yeah, I'm kind of happy the bathrooms are there. No offense.
Of course, we weren't there to see what the Marasco looked like and all of that.
No, we weren't. We weren't.
It was quite the controversy, though. When they tore those theaters down to build the hotel complex.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Because what was it? It was the Marasco. The first Helen Hayes?
Yeah.
And I think, oh my gosh.
Another one. Someone knows this that's listening right now and is like yelling at us for not knowing.
The Bijou?
Say that again, Rob.
The Bijou?
That's sexy. The Bijou.
I think. I don't know. Yeah. What were the three? The Marasco, the Helen Hayes, and the... That was it, ladies and gentlemen. So as you can tell, Kevin and I are really, really up to date on what got closed down.
We do know where you can go to the bathroom.
Isn't that sad? I don't know the history, but you got to take a shit, go to the Marquee. Real nice. Got a Starbucks in the lobby.
Oh, man.
Go ahead and get coffee. Yeah. Go see On Your Feet. Take a shit.
See show posters.
Get your coffee. See your show posters.
Scene.
Go to Junior's. Get some cheesecake. How are you doing in the city? Well, sorry about that. No, but anyway, yes. Yeah, so how do we even get on the topic of going to them? Anyway, Kevin, what's your favorite thing?
All right. Well, mine's actually two in one.
Two in one?
You might say. And this is a very interesting circumstance happened in the year of 2000.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Because, and this had also happened a couple years earlier in the 80s. When Phantom of the Opera came out and you had two writers writing the same source material because it was held under public domain for so long. And then, you know, source work is in public domain. And then I forget what the rule is, but it's either when the author dies or when it was published. After a certain year, like 75 years,
yeah.
Then you are allowed to write it without having to pay money. You know, it's open to the public to write about. So the source material for this was it was written in 1926, but then published in 1928 because it was such a controversial poem. It was a long-form poem, so it was the size of a novel, and it was written by Joseph Moncure March.
Oh.
And it's called The Wild Party.
It's called Green Eggs and Ham. There were two green eggs and ham on Broadway.
Exactly.
Yes, I remember.
So, yeah, The Wild Party was up for public domain. And right around 1999, 2000. And so two authors went after the same source material, the same play, or the same poem, at the exact same time, which is crazy. And they both opened within months of each other, one on the Broadway and the other on the off-Broadway at Manhattan Theater Club.
Which to me is absolutely,
utterly fascinating. Literally, the first line of both of those shows, the Broadway and off-Broadway Wild Parties, is the opening line to the play, which is Queenie was a blonde and her age stood still and she danced twice a day on the vaudeville. And they both use that same lyric, but you get to hear two different treatments of the same line. One is Queenie was a blonde and her age stood still. And the other was Queenie was a blonde and her age stood still. So it's fun to hear different treatments, but you either, this is an argument that has hit all the chat boards and all of the theater aficionados around, either like one or the other. And I feel very much that like, I judge you based on which Wild Party you like, even though I like both, but I like one more than the other.
Is that true?
Oh,
really?
Yeah, Rob. I really like, if you're a theater fan and you tell me which one you like, I'm secretly judging you a little bit if you say you like.
Oh, really?
One of them. And so the two are written by, one. The Broadway one was written by Michael John Lacusa, who I'm trying to think what you might know him for. He's written a plethora of shows. He started out, Lincoln Center produces his shows a lot. They did a show called Hello Again and another show called Marie Christine that Audra McDonald famously starred in that was not so much a hit, but still was like an opera. He writes very complex music. I almost would say it's almost like Sondheim in a way, the way the music tells the story. Very, very, very deep music.
And you know what of his that just got released, if you want to get familiar with his work, First Daughter Suite,
yes,
which was just at the Public Theater. I got to see it. I thought it was one of the best things I saw all year.
Yeah.
First Daughter
Suite.
I didn't
get to see that, but I know his companion piece that he wrote years ago, which is First Lady Suite, which is about the first ladies of the president.
Exactly. And this one is about the children, the daughters
yeah,
specifically of the presidents Nixon, Ford, yeah, Carter, Reagan,
yeah,
and Bush. It's really wonderful.
Oh, I think Michael John is an incredible,
yeah,
effervescent writer. And he did Giant, based on the movie as well, that a lot of people
He did do Giant, yeah.
I didn't see it, but the recording is
Oh, it's great.
Fascinating.
It's wonderful.
Well, I think his best work is this Wild Party. I am in the Lacusa camp. I am
you
in
like
the
Lacusa.
I am a diehard fan of I can listen to it. I've listened to it dozens and dozens of times, and I still can't wrap my ear around everything that's going on musically.
Who's in the cast?
So, I'm glad you asked that question, Rob. Actually, so it opened April 13th, the year 2000. So George C. Wolfe, who is directing Shuffle Along, directed this production. It was originally done at the Public, and then it transferred to Broadway, which is, I love that the Public is such a, has a wealth of creativity that they cultivate such amazing works there, including Hamilton.
And Fun Home.
And A Chorus Line. And like, yeah, just so many shows. All right, so in this cast, you have Toni Collette, movie star Toni Collette.
From Sixth Sense.
Who kills it. Like, you're like, why is this woman not on Broadway all the time? She sings the shit out of this music. She acts the shit out of the music. And she comes to life over this cast recording. Playing opposite her is the wacky, sometimes allegedly crazy Mandy Patinkin, who is playing a vaudeville clown, which perfect. Yeah. And you hear that over the cast recording, and then you have some of my greatest favorite performers, Michael McElroy, who to me is just everything, Norm Lewis, that voice, but Eartha Kitt is on this.
Eartha Kitt
purrs her way through this as the faded old actress who's trying to get her break back again, and she sings one of the best songs in the entire show, this song, Moving Uptown. I hear you moving uptown, and it's this whole, she's trying to convince these two Jewish producers to hire her for a show again. And then she sings another 11 o'clock number at the end of the show called When It Ends, basically commenting on what the proceedings of the evening. And just so you know, I'll give you a little setup. The poem is basically about a woman, Queenie, and her very abusive vaudevillian performer boyfriend who they live together. And I think in order to fuel the unhappiness and the darkness in their lives, they decide to throw a party. And this is the roaring 20s. It's jazzy. It's wacky. Lots of drugs, smoky, flapper dresses, you know. But this party they throw, and they bring all their friends to sort of, I think, to numb the pain and the darkness. But they invite, you know, the gay producers and lesbians, and this is the 1920s, based on a real poem that was
amazing,
written, that would not get published because it was so controversial. So it was really lends itself very well to a musical theater evening.
I think
it's very dramatic, it's very dark, it's very sexy, and so the whole show is basically this one night and how it all goes into chaos, and in the morning people have lost their way and people have found their way by the end. Tanya Pinkins is in the Broadway production, Mark Kudich. It really, an ensemble cast, though, was assembled of all Broadway stars. I had tickets to see it. I was in college, but then I had to go back for a choir concert, and I was not able to.
What?
And I had to give my tickets away.
Who got your tickets?
No, I don't even remember. Sarah Pesek, maybe? I don't know.
Sarah, did
God
you like
damn
the
it.
Show?
I hope so. They did the Lipa. I need to see the Lucuza done again. I need to see it.
But most, you know what, though? When it gets done now at colleges, because it does get done a lot,
yeah,
it's the Lipa version.
That's
it's not the Lucuza version.
Conversely, you have the Broadway one, and I could go on and on, as I have, about the Broadway. But the Lipa version is the off-Broadway. And you know Andrew Lipa because he wrote the Addams Family musical, and he wrote an off-Broadway show called John and Jen. And he's a fantastic composer.
And My New Philosophy.
Oh, yes.
That's, yeah.
He wrote that. He wrote a couple songs when they revived.
Charlie Brown, yeah.
And then he also did The Big Fish.
Yeah.
But then his cast that was done off Broadway with Manhattan Theater Club, also stellar cast. You've got Taye Diggs, you've got Idina Menzel, Let It Go. You've got Julia Murney, Brian D'Arcy James. Fantastic cast.
Jeez.
But this cast, though, this version is a little more, your toe is dipped a little more in the Broadway sound. It's a little more show busy. It's a little more like Broadway style sounding, whereas the Lucuza is a little more, I want to say, complex. It's got a little more going musically, to me, in my point of view. The Lipa, not to say the Lipa isn't dark and amazing, but it just has a more popular sound to it.
But really, if somebody said to you, I prefer the Lipa version over the Lucuza version, that's it for you.
I'd say, okay.
And all you'd right. walk away.
I would just peg you a little bit in my mind and heart.
Wow.
And I would think to myself, oh, that's your taste? Okay.
Oh, wow. You have a very... I love that, Kevin. I've never seen you this passionate.
No, I do. I know.
My
God. I get passionate over this stuff. It's wild.
Have you asked... Well,
and the Lipa opened in February 24th, so it opened like 3 months before, 2 months before the Broadway one. Can you imagine the fight? Like, these composers had to act like they... I would love to know the backstory. Like, did they know... Of course, they knew about each other.
Of course.
And at this is, of course, in 2000 when you had... four major new composers: Jason Robert Brown, Michael John Lacusa, Andrew Lippa. I'm missing Adam Gettle.
Adam Gettle,
he had written Floyd Kahn. But this was the new voices of American musical theater at the time, and now you've got two guys writing the same exact show.
That is
crazy.
Weird. I wonder how that came about. I want to know the backstory. Like, why?
They're like, I'm going to write it first. I'm going to get done first. And mine's going to be a bigger hit.
Was there competition, or did they ever feel like... And you see, I think that's so incredible that they still allowed it to happen.
Right, and the producers still went for it, you know. And in many ways, I feel like one, like the Lippa should have been on Broadway and Lacusa should have stayed off Broadway. I mean, it was flipped. I don't know. Who knows if there was a right
way
or a wrong way. And if they canceled each other out because they were both doing this. Who knows? I'm sure there's a book that could be written about it.
And
I would read it.
Boy, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, because you probably know this. Am I correct in saying that the critical reception to both shows was not... stellar.
It was all a little meh.
Yeah.
You know,
do you think it's a source material?
I don't think so, because I think it's an interesting source. I mean, let's face it, we're New Yorkers. We understand a little bit what it's like to, you know, New York is the city that never sleeps. You know, you drink, you booze. It's still a little crazy like that. There's still CD parties that you go to, and there's still people that want to hide from their real self by doing drugs and alcohol and sex, you know,
yeah.
And that is topical, I think. And so this deals with that darkness and how you fill it.
You know, and this is your, I can't believe I'm going to say this. You know, I have not, I have. I saw the Lippa version when it was at Encores. I didn't see the original, and I don't think I've ever seen the Lacusa version.
Yeah.
So I wish I could tell you like.
No, it's
I
all go good.
But if
so you're a perfect candidate. I'd love you to like
so listen
to
listen
both.
And
you should listen to both twice though, because Lacusa one, you cannot listen to it one time through and think, oh yeah, I got this. Yeah, it's so dense that it's like a Sondheim score. You have to listen to it more.
What
than
happens
once.
If I look at you and I go, I prefer
this
the Andrew Lippa
is,
one.
Is done. Rob, we're
it's
like
canceled.
Done. Like we'll be like,
he literally
thanks everyone
drops
for listening.
The mic and walks away.
Talk to Kevin David Thomas on another podcast. No,
wow,
no. It's,
bye everybody.
Because both are viable and both are great in their own regard. But just me personally, you can tell that I just really connect deeply with the Lacusa Wild Party.
Let me go back. I've seen actually a couple of college productions of the Lippa one.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it, and they're all I need to see it again because when I see, this sounds horrible, when you see it at a college, it always seems to be the emphasis is on, you know, let me see how slutty my clothing can look.
Totally. Oh no, no doubt.
And there seems to be more emphasis on the sexuality than there is.
And make no
anything
mistake,
else that's going on in the play. I know that sounds
too.
So horrible.
The show is sex, though.
Yeah.
But you're right. That often, especially in colleges, does become like, you know, that becomes an emphasis.
I'm wondering if there's any other musicals where they took the same source material.
Phantom of the Opera, famously, Angela Lloyd Webber and Arthur Copit. They did Phantom of the Opera because that book was up at the same time, and then it was a race to Broadway
to see who could get there first.
And, obviously, we know who won that race.
Yeah,
and the other Phantom, which is just called Phantom, that Arthur Copit wrote. And with Maury Yeston.
With Maury Yeston,
Never made it to the Broadway.
Who was it? Paper Mill or Westchester or somewhere like that? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They do it a lot. And that
has
a beautiful score. It has a stunningly beautiful score. Different Phantom of the Opera than the one that Sir Angela Lloyd Webber wrote.
Yeah. So there's different things that recommend.
Yeah. But that idea that the source material is up at the same time.
On the same year.
Two people wrote it and both were produced with... A casts.
I
mean,
love
you
are. It.
We're talking. Both cast recordings are fantastic listens. I would be fascinated to know what our listeners think of both of them. I'm sure we could have a great argument going, and I for one would love to hear the argument because it's just. Hey, we're talking about show tunes at the end of the day, so it's like not life and death, but it's really they're passionate and it was life and death for those writers to write those stuff.
Oh my God,
you know?
Yeah.
So and I like that people a lot of people I know love the Lippa, but I think it's because a lot of people love to sing the songs from the Lippa. You can pull the songs for audition material from the off Broadway.
They're
one.
They
are very good at standalone songs
like Life of the Party,
Raise the Roof. All the ladies love to sing that the 11 o'clock number at the very end of the show, we're all some
and Lesbian Love Story,
yeah,
right?
That's
another
funny
one
song. Out of the Blue, but then,
so you can pull
they're just more show tune type songs, right? The Lacusa, it's sung through almost entirely. It has a much more jazz age type sound to the orchestrations, which were beautifully done by Bruce Coughlin, and it's the songs bleed into one into the other.
Yeah,
and so you really get a sense of the smoky darkness, sexiness, but you don't necessarily get like a ba-da-bop, ba-da-bop, bop, you know, kind of end of a song.
Yeah,
it's not like that kind of show. But I think those kinds of shows speak to me.
You prefer those.
I like those kinds of shows, but I also appreciate. I love a good show tune. Give me Jerry Herman any day. You know.
Yeah.
But it's just that Jerry Herman Sondheim argument kind of thing a little bit, you know.
You know what, listeners, can you help me out, because I can't argue with you. I don't know. I haven't seen one of them, so I can't tell you which one I prefer over the other. But oh God, well now I'm nervous, because if I don't pick the right one, you're gonna walk
never
out on
to
me
you again.
He's gone. Well, how did we come to this?
That's the song. How did we come to this? Thank
you. Oh, I know. Oh. I know. It's a little reference for you.
Yeah, so that was my wild party diatribe.
Wow. My gosh. Well, okay, now I got to go see some of these. Okay.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
You know what? I'm happy that you did this, because that does come up a lot. People go, you know, which one do you prefer? And this show that I'm going to mention, my Throwback Thursday, my favorite thing, is one that people are also incredibly divided on, although not really well known, because you either look at it and go, this is brilliant, or you listen to it and you go, this is the worst thing I've ever heard of in my life. And you have to make a choice.
Runaways. I'm just kidding.
I'll tell you what I think of that at some other point, but I won't. Actually, I like Runaways. Yeah. I think you don't like it.
It's okay.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to hear that. Gonna give me Orphans. Give me Annie.
See it. Preppies. Sorry. Really going obscure now.
No, Preppies? Yes. Is that one?
Oh, yeah. There's a album, Preppies.
I never heard of that.
Some of the musical theater nerds just got real excited.
Preppies?
Yeah, I'll show you the album sometime.
Oh, okay. We'll I never heard of that. Bajor?
I don't know Bajor very well.
You see, so Kevin, this is great.
We're always on the same page.
This is great.
Even not on the same page.
Even not on the same page. What is it, though?
I'm familiar with Bajor.
Yeah.
No,
so,
I'm not. I just know the title.
Thank you for lying and making me feel special. Bajor is a musical from 1964.
Yep. Great year.
What a great year.
I mean, come on. Take me back to 1964 so I can see Hello, Dolly. I can see, you know, Funny Girl. I can see Golden Boy. I can see Bajor.
Fiddler. You could see Fiddler.
Yeah.
You could see High Spirits.
Yeah. She loves me.
I mean, 64 is a great year. My God, and there's it's going to kill me. What's the name of the amazing book that Peter Felicia just wrote, and it's all about 1964? The greatest year, the greatest season, the greatest, before the parade passes by, the great parade. Somebody had a parade. We'll cut this part out.
There's a parade in town.
As I'm looking, I even read the book. I can't believe I don't remember it.
Peter Felicia wrote The Great Parade.
The Great Parade.
Which was a book about 1964.
About 1964.
Which I'm going to get that.
It's a great book.
I just can't. I just have to make sure it's not while I'm drinking. I have to turn off Amazon, because a lot of times I'm at a party and I'm a little allegedly a little sauce.
Allegedly.
And then someone's like, hey, you should read Razzle Dazzle by Michael Riedel. And then I wake up the next morning and I look at my email and it's like, you've ordered 4 books last night. And I'm like, no, I didn't mean to order all these books.
I can't. I'm lucky because where we live, we don't have a doorman. Well, mm-hmm. That's not true. There's a drug dealer on the corner who sometimes signs for packages. I'm being
that's
dead
nice
serious.
Of him. That's really nice.
Oh
of
no,
him.
But sometimes we don't get the packages, so I don't buy books anymore.
Package you're getting.
That's disgusting. That is disgusting. That's an affront, and that's disgusting. And I'm going to be sick, but not really. People know where I live, and you can come find us. We're open and available. I'm giving a shout out to my buddy Kevin Becerra.
Okay.
Kevin was one of my former students. Mm. And Kevin is a fantastic dramaturg. He lives up in Boston. He's brilliant. And Kevin loves campy musicals.
Yeah.
And this is a show that I asked Kevin. I said, you know, we do this show. If there was one musical that you'd want people to know that might be obscure. He goes, Bajor. Immediately.
Like he just didn't even let you finish the sentence. He knew.
Nope. He didn't. He just like let it out there. So for those of you that don't know Bajor, B-A-J-O-U-R. B-A-J-O-U-R, comes out 1964. The book is by Ernest Kernroy. Let me just have a stroke halfway through that. The book is by Ernest Kinroy, and Walter Marx did the score. Bajor is a story about gypsies.
Like?
Not like, you know, sing out, Louise.
Bum, bum, bum.
No, different types of gypsies. Ones that don't, you know, yell from the back of the theater.
That travel around.
Yeah. They travel around. And they're living in New York City.
Oh.
And Bajor is a Romani word that means con game, in which lonely and unhappy women are swindled out of their life savings.
Oh.
So this gypsy troupe goes through New York City and they perform these swindles. Now, first song is fun. It's really interesting. It's the second song that makes people go,
uh-oh,
this is going to be brilliant, or what in God's name am I listening to?
Mm-hmm.
The song is called Where is the Tribe for Me?
Where is the Tribe for Me?
Where is the Tribe for Me? It's sung by our heroine, Emily Kirsten, who is a PhD student in New York University, NYU. And she's doing her dissertation on this tribe. She needs to find a tribe for her anthropology dissertation. And so she sings a song called Where is the Tribe for Me?
Like tribe.
Like a tribe. Like a gypsy tribe.
Yeah, okay.
You know, or
Native American
tribe.
The Cherokees.
It's not necessarily the most politically correct of shows, but in this song, she sings about all the adventures she might have looking for her tribe, in which she goes to the jungle and she imagines what it would be like in the jungle with the elephants, and she makes elephant noises, with poison darts being thrown at her, and she makes the noises. So it's a 4-minute number where she just does sound effects the whole time. And you either go, this is brilliant,
oh my gosh,
or you go, I can't anymore. I err on the side of, this is brilliant. It is so campy and so silly and so ridiculous.
You buy it.
You buy it. Right. And if you sit there judging it, get the hell out. Who wants to speak to you? Nobody wants to talk to you. Where is the Tribe for Me from Bajor, I think, is one of the greatest want songs ever written.
Ever.
Seriously. Because it's hysterical.
Okay.
And it gets you on the side of the heroine instantaneously.
Okay, all right. And that's her name? That's the actress's name? Or that's the
character's name? The character's name is Emily, and the played by Nancy Dussault. Now, some of our viewers might be like, who is Nancy Dussault? She's probably best remembered for being on Too Close for Comfort in the 80s with Ted Knight. That was like where she was. That's where you would probably recognize her. She did a whole bunch of musicals before that. But listen to this cast who's also in it with her. Oh, I should go back. Before, she wasn't the first choice for the role.
Oh.
Originally, it was being written for a young actress by the name of Carol Burnett.
Really?
Yep. And if you listen to Where is the Tribe for Me, you go, oh my God, that's.
Of course.
Of course, you can hear Carol Burnett
totally
doing this. But after Carol Burnett turned it down, they had auditions.
Wow.
And there was one actress who walked in and auditioned. And everyone said, oh, she would have been so funny. She would have been so hysterical. But they just didn't like her attitude in the audition. They just didn't like her demeanor.
Weird.
So, unfortunately, Barbara Streisand did not get to appear in Bajor, but they got the next best thing, Nancy Dussault. Because if you can't get Barbara Streisand, that's who you call. But the cast, listen to this cast. Herschel Bernardi is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Herb Edelman, who you might be like, I don't know that name, but you do know Stanley Zbornak from the Golden Girls.
No way.
Herb Edelman, who played Stanley Zbornak, B. Arthur's
That's
ex-husband,
awesome.
Was in musicals for a really long time. He plays the Moiva King of Newark. He's one of the Gypsy Kings
Moiva.
Of Newark. Of Newark,
Moiva,
New Jersey.
The King of Newark. So it's fictional town?
It's no. It's New York City.
Oh, okay.
But the tribes within New York City have their own like
little
thing,
kingdoms.
And he's one of them. Mae Questel, who you mean, might be like, I've never heard that name before. Do you remember Betty?
Sophia. No, I'm kidding. Sophia.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm actually sorry, guys. This is it's the cast of Golden Girls. I'm reading a plot description from the Golden Girls. I'm sorry. It's the episode where they go on Grab That Dough. I'm so sorry, everybody.
Miami is nice. Yeah.
Oh my! Tell me that's not the greatest song ever written in
Fantastic.
The 1980s.
Fantastic.
Miami is nice.
I'll say it thrice.
It's not a word. So is interuterine. Mae Questel. You might not know the name, but remember Betty Boop?
Oh, yeah.
She's the voice of Betty
no
Boop.
No way.
But for like our generation of listeners, do you remember Christmas Vacation?
Of course. Remember? She's grandma?
She's grandma.
No way.
Say grace. She died 30 years ago. The blessing. She's the voice of Betty Boop.
Amazing.
She's the old. The
boy,
old.
She really lowered that voice.
She had
didn't
a
she?
Boy. Boop, boop,
boop, to like say the blessing.
Say the blessing.
Wow.
And the ensemble's Paul Sorvino and Michael Bennett. It's a great ensemble. So anyway, and the chorus, the big name I'm forgetting, our antagonist in the whole show, Cheetah Rivera.
What? Yes, of course.
Who has a wonderful song called Love Line. In the show, and there's a wonderful 11 o'clock number that actually Peter Felicia talks about called You Can't Cheat an Honest Man that Herschel Bernardi and Herb Edelman sing. And if you're looking for a great like 11 o'clock number duet for men, please look at this number because not a lot of people know it, and it's hysterical. So unfortunately, the show really isn't done all that much. I mean, obviously, it's kind of a little bit offensive now, you know what I mean? But it's fun, and it's silly, and it's one of the last, I think, of those really... what's the word I'm looking for? Silly golden age.
Yeah,
musicals.
like fluff and stuff. Well, not much stuff, but mostly fluff.
Yeah,
you know,
fluff.
Like just like fun
it's
and
dumb, silly fun. And ladies, if you're looking for something fun to do, please look at Where Is the Tribe for Me because it's absolutely hysterical.
I'm going to give it a listen. I think I have it on LP and I just have never listened to it. So
it's on CD now. And
I'm
also, we'll post
it.
There's a great clip of Cheetah Rivera singing and dancing, I think from the Ed Sullivan show that's on YouTube. And we will post, I'm sure there has to be a Where Is the Tribe for Me out there somewhere. So my buddy Kevin, I'm proud of you. Thanks for recommending Bajor to us.
Yeah, thanks, Kev.
And so please. You know when you get to perform a Bajor? When I walk into the Marriott Marquis and I'm like, oh, I have a friend that's staying here. I'm going to go up to his room and get him.
Yeah.
When I'm actually just going in to go to the bathroom. That is called a Bajor.
I like that.
Thank you. That's a swindle.
I'm going to Bajor.
I'm going to go Bajor right
in
now.
In a Romanian, with a Romanian accent.
I can't do a Romanian accent.
I don't know.
But yeah, so please take a listen to this cast recording.
Bajor or Bajor?
You know what? There's different. It's funny. They pronounce the title differently in the show both times. Sometimes the emphasis is like Bajor, and then sometimes Bajor. Either way.
All right. Kind of like Sarava.
They kind of like Sarava. Going way back to our first interview with Randy Graff. So mine is Bajor. Yours is?
I have both Wild Parties.
Both
Lacusa and Lipa. Check them out. Let us know what you think of all three of those, please, friends.
We cannot wait to hear from you.
Yeah, let's start the argument.
Yes. Rob Schneider.
Kevin David Thomas. See you next time.
Have a great Bajor. Please light a match after you Bajor.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just Ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.